Hello and welcome to the Innovation Agency podcast with me, Caroline Kenyon. This is one of a series of podcasts exploring ways to support healthcare staff, particularly during the tough times caused by the pandemic. In this episode, we're going to hear from someone who started something quite special 2 years ago to help his colleagues on the front line through actions which were based on kindness. He is Terry McLaughlin, emergency medicine consultant at Liverpool University Hospitals. Hi, Terry, and thank you for finding the time for this conversation. How are you?
Good morning, Caroline. Very well, thank you.
What's it like at the moment? I know it's pretty tough in A&E. What's it like these days?
Yeah, well, I mean, this time of year in the NHS is usually very busy in general, but obviously with the COVID-19 pandemic, it's really quite ramped up in our department and indeed across the rest of the nation.
And what about the last year? What's that been like for you and your colleagues?
Yeah, it's been a real roller coaster for our team. So we're just into a year now of the pandemic, and this time last year we were all very, you know, motivated. The nation were very much behind us. You had Clap for Carers, etc. However, there's an element of fatigue that's set in, not just amongst the community, but also amongst staff, having to have worked in these conditions for nearly 12 months.
Has it been particularly hard in your hospital, do you think? I mean, it's not long ago you were merging two trusts coming together, Aintree and the Royal Liverpool. You had the new buildings, the new Royal, which was on hold after the collapse of Carillion. You've had rather a perfect storm of it, haven't you?
I think that's a really good way of explaining it. It has been a perfect storm of those three massive issues that have happened in the city of Liverpool over the last 12 months. So yeah, we have had a delay in the new building being opened, the new hospital for the Royal Liverpool, a merger of two big, big hospitals, so Aintree and the Royal and Broad Green. And with that brings its very own mix of issues and anxieties. And then of course, the well-publicised COVID pandemic, which has affected Liverpool particularly.
What's it feel like when you're in that emergency department? Because that's very much on the front line of the front line, isn't it?
That's right. I mean, there's a lot of teams involved in the care of patients with COVID. But the first stop is with the emergency department, which is at the front line when they come to hospital. So that stage of their care, when they've come from the community to the hospital, they will come via the emergency department. And with that brings a whole new set of challenges for our staff. So every emergency department in the country has to be split in two. So you have a hot zone, and that's for patients with potentially have COVID and are very unwell. And of course, that disease is highly transmissible to others. So we have to separate that group with what we call the cold zone, which is your usual accident and emergency issues, which continue to come in 24/7. So with that brings the consequences of splitting a department in two. So you have the same number of staff, and also staff get COVID themselves. So you have all these negative impacts on our staff group. You need a huge number of highly skilled staff to run a department 24/7. But if you're then splitting them in two and stretching the department out over a wider area, that in itself brings the strain on top of the sickness rates increasing as well over the last year.
So you've been doing certain actions to help your colleagues with their well-being, but you started it 2 years ago. Before you tell us what you did, can you tell us why you did it? What was it that triggered it?
That's right. So over 2 years ago, so before the pandemic started, as a team of senior clinicians, so senior nurses and senior doctors, that it was just a small group of us. So senior nurses of Gillian Melody and Sarah Brady and I, we realised that we can control a few of the factors to help staff have a better day at work. When you think about emergency medicine, you get a lot of patients coming in that you just don't know what's going on with them at first. That, as an individual patient, brings a big cognitive burden to the team. So you don't know what's going on. They haven't been packaged to a particular specialty. Anything could be going on. So that in itself, as an individual patient, is quite stressful. You need to really think rapidly about what's going on, how to diagnose, how to treat, and package that patient safely and get them to the right team. Now, if you times that by 200 to 300 patients per day, that's a lot of stress for a relatively small team of staff. So how can you help that team work? Because, you know, a lot of people have a lot of variables in their lives, in their private life as well as their work life. So whilst they're with us during that shift, can we help them? Can we optimize the staff and help them, make them feel valued and make them feel part of a team? Because if you help them positively, that's really going to help the patient. And that's ultimately what we as clinicians all want to do. We want to help that patient as best we can. So if we can control, say, any negatives and optimize the positives, then that's only going to help the patient, as well as all a lovely positive ripple effect of better teamwork, people feeling more resilient, carrying on with their job, wanting to be at work. All these things help, and it all helps if we can help them. So as seniors, as senior clinicians, we want to help our staff right at the front line. So the idea came 2 years ago that rather than having trust-led sessions, which are fantastic, and every organization has them, our staff are unique in that they work 24/7. It's a highly intensive job. So let's bring those sessions to them, make them as accessible as possible, as convenient as possible, run sessions out of hours and on weekends. And that was our point of difference. So we ran a range of sessions. It started small before the pandemic 2 years ago.
When you say sessions, what do you mean? What are the sessions?
So a few years ago, we just started with a small group meditation and yoga, but those sessions were during their shifts. So for the sake of 15, 20 minutes, when, say, a part of the department wasn't as busy as normal, one member of staff would come from there, another member, say, from one of our amazing supporting services like radiography, security. We have so many services. Grab one person from each group, form a small team, and do some meditation with a qualified member of staff in the department. So you'd have a private room in the department and see the impact. So they'd do that session, short, sharp session, and then let them get back to work. We found that had a real positive ripple effect, because not only is that member of staff had some time out to decompress during what is likely to be a stressful shift, but then that also impacts everyone else around them, because they feel more settled, less anxious, they have a smile on their face, and that in itself has this positive cycle within the team atmosphere. So it started small with that, and it's really grown. So the pandemic really brought the psychological well-being of our staff to the forefront, because it's such a stressful and long pandemic. So from those small sessions, it's been grown into counselling services, official rooms where people can go to decompress for just a few moments. We have a campaign called Civility Saves, and being kind to each other, having positive promotion through what we call Grey Texas, which is where staff can nominate other staff for positive work that they've witnessed, and they get a certificate for it that goes into their portfolios. These are all little things, but all the little things add up. And it started, like with all the other things, it started small. But let's take, for example, the Grey Texas. We do nearly 100 a month now. So 100 members of staff a month over two hospitals are receiving certificates to say, do you know what? You did really well today. We're really impressed with what you're doing. So rather than it being what we call in the NHS a DATEX, which is a complaint, they're actually getting a Grey Text to say, you know what, you're a really good member of the team, and we want to appreciate that. And rather than just ignoring it and just thinking they should be doing that anyway, I said, you know what? That is a really incredible thing that you've done today. It could be anything. It could be teaching. It could be looking after someone. But you really got to appreciate it and acknowledge it. And a lot of staff like that. And I think it's such a great impact. And as we said before about the ripple effect, if staff are happy and feel valued, that's going to help our patients and it's going to help our team.
And when you say great X, is that like a great big X, which is like a big kiss? And what's it look like?
So it's a certificate that's online and they can just put it in their portfolio. So for instance, any trainee who's going through the system will have that on their portfolio. And it's just a little mark of respect just to say, do you know what you're doing is really good and we really do appreciate you.
That's lovely. And you're right, little things do mean a lot. Go back to when you started. You were doing this in your own time, weren't you? You were coming in after you'd finished work to go and talking therapies with individual staff, as well as the separate yoga and meditation sessions. You were doing that as well, weren't you?
It was very much a grassroots phenomenon. So myself, Gillian, Melody and Sarah Brady were originally just doing it in our own time because we're passionate about this. We want to look after our staff and we all come from backgrounds where not just medical backgrounds, but our backgrounds prior to our careers, which was all about teamwork. So bringing in non-NHS experience into our work has actually proved really beneficial. And it's just grown from there. And now it's a program that's in place, not just at the Royal, but also in the AMUs, the acute medical units here and over at Aintree.
You mentioned teamwork. So tell us, what was your experience of teamwork? What was the experience that you had before you came into the NHS?
So I had quite a circuitous route into medicine. So I didn't start medicine at the traditional age of 18, 19. I spent quite a few years having normal jobs and travelling and working in other countries. So I didn't start medicine until I was in my mid-20s. And that, in some ways, you know, you're not really starting your career until later. But I found that to be hugely beneficial for my career now. So I learned a huge amount about myself and others from doing other jobs before I went into medicine. And one of the interesting things I found when I started medical school many, many years ago, after several years of doing other jobs, was the level of competitiveness. Now, I saw the level of competitiveness in sport. I played lots of sports in the past. I didn't realise it was such a big thing academically as well. And it's quite funny because in the NHS, the best teams need teamwork. So you need great leadership, but you also need followership as well. And this is a relatively new phenomenon that a lot of courses teach. They've been teaching it about 6 or 7 years now. The issue is with medical school is that very often you have characters who really want to be the best, which is fantastic. They're excelling, they're ambitious, which is brilliant. However, in a team, that's only one part of the team. Yes, you do need leaders. Yes, you do need to be competitive, but there's so much more to a team. And there's this concept of followership and bringing cohesion to a team. And that's what I learned before I went to medical school, is how to be part of a team. And they're the skills that you need. And being part of a team doesn't just mean, you know, being in a cardiac arrest situation and following the leader. It means day to day. It means, how do you interact with team members? Do you treat people differently if they have a different badge on? It's lots of other things in your day-to-day life. Do you have a good eye contact with certain people? Do you say hello to certain people? That's all part of being part of a team. And this is the stuff that I learned, that when you're an individual doing thousands of exams in medicine, you're not taught that you have to sit the exam, you have to be the best. But there's so much more to our specialty than that. And you often learn that as you're going through training after medical school. And I was at that great advantage. So in many ways, my age was a disadvantage. But then again, the level of I can't believe I'm saying this about myself, maturity. I'm not known for being particularly mature, but certainly some emotional maturity of being part of big teams in various different guises really, really was an advantage.
It seems kind of contrary, doesn't it, to working in a caring profession and yet having to be reminded to be caring in the sense of being kind to your colleagues. It seems kind of contrary to what we think of as the caring professional.
Yeah, and like in all big organisations, there are, it's a very fashionable word, but silos. So you're taught to be part of a small group of highly specialised individuals. And if you're not competing against another group, you're certainly trying to not integrate. But the beauty of emergency medicine is we need to be specialists in emergencies across the board. So it's in our best interest to break down those silos. We all need to be one team. We all need to understand what each other group are doing. So the traditional approach of us versus them should not be part of our specialty, in my own opinion. We should be working together with mature relationships to make it better for the patient. And part of that comes down to the leaders. So the senior clinicians need to set examples. So as role models, we're role models for everyone. We're not just role models for our trainee in our specialty. We're role models for the whole department and everyone who comes into our department. And if we lead by example, that sets a trend, because the trainee, people who look up to us, we may not think people look up to us, but some people do, not everyone. We may offer them a good positive role model for them to then create that positive vibe when they're our bosses. At the end of the day, we're only here temporarily. And when I'm 10 years on, I'm going into the autumn years of my career, these people will be the next generation. These are the people who are going to be our leaders, expanding, you know, our specialty, developing our specialty in ways we never could or even considered. So we really need to give them role models for the infancy of their careers as well.
Have you met with any cynicism from any of your colleagues about being kind, the meditation, the yoga that you've introduced? Have you had anyone saying, well, that's never going to work, or we haven't got time for that? Any negativity?
Yeah, I mean, everyone's different. And some people like to put up barriers and show how strong they are. And that's fine. I feel that it's the bigger picture. So you may get someone who traditionally wouldn't be involved with something like meditation, but that doesn't matter. It's the fact that it's there, it's on offer, it's available and accessible to everyone. And even if they don't believe in having that kind of time out to do these sessions, it's the subconscious reality that it's available for the staff. So they may not want it, but they appreciate that some staff do. And it's having that availability, so advertising the fact that this is for everyone. It's not for a select group of very experienced seniors. No, it's for everyone in the team. And that's a hallmark of being part of a good team. You have to have everyone on board. It doesn't matter what your badge says. If you're in that department, you are part of that team. And that's one aspect of it, is offering this to absolutely everyone. So it's not exclusive, it's inclusive. And it's the breaking down of that whole attitude that I think helps our department being so cohesive.
And does it make a big difference, the fact that it's people within the department who are offering the one-to-one talking therapy or the meditation and yoga? It's coming from within the department as opposed to the separate occupational therapy department, which usually looks after all the staff in an organisation.
Yeah, I think that it's a good aspect of the wellbeing initiative, is that it's actually run by people who know the struggle, the strain and intensity of our job. It's like you've been through it together. So you understand the little nuances that make you feel sad or grieved. And there's lots of fantastic people out there who run variations of wellbeing. Our ethos within our program in our hospitals is that you need people who completely understand what's going on on the front line. And I think staff appreciate that. So I think that's it's a nice element to the program. It's 80% clinicians themselves who will try either originally do it in their own time, which is what we did, but then develop it as part of their job plans, which is what a few of us do now. It's actually part of our official job plans. And I think staff do appreciate that.
So it's grown from you doing it voluntarily and your colleagues that you mentioned earlier, and it's become established now, as you say, it's part of your work plan. How did you convince the hospital management structure that this needed to be supported? Was there evidence that it was having an impact?
So we were very lucky. It was almost like the perfect storm of not just negative issues like the pandemic, the merger, and the lack of a new hospital, but also the advent of a complete restructure of management. And they, at that time, realised that we were actually helping from a managerial point of view. So staff felt valued. Retention rates actually increased. So even during the middle of the pandemic in our department, we had a full complement of nursing staff. Now, this is not an exact science. So this isn't to say it was because of the programme, but it certainly helped. It didn't hinder. So our management had great foresight to realise that this is having a good impact on the team. So let's formalise it and bring it across the merged hospitals and really embed it in the teams. And that's taken time. You really need to establish change over a long period of time. There's no point sticking a poster up and thinking everyone's going to change their minds. It is persistence and consistency to develop the culture to change and be part of the wellbeing initiative. So they understood that and they formalized these roles for a few of us. And then it's my job to let it permeate down. So we have a team of 25 of us now. So it started out with three. There's now 25 of us. And everyone has, you know, different time they can offer. So some people, it's just a case of they are interested and they would like to help promote the sessions, which is fantastic. I'm not here to micromanage anyone. I'm just here to see if anyone would like to be involved. So that's one ambassadorial role, up to people actually being more than just interested, but actually wanting to develop themselves into counsellors or CBT experts. And we can offer support for that. So we have a whole range of CPD for our staff and they can develop themselves and become the next counsellor for the department if they're interested in that. Other staff have got sidelines that they want to bring in, facials, massage, absolutely incredible range of other interests that people have. And it makes it such a dynamic process. So as wellbeing is being developed across both hospitals, you're bringing in new elements every couple of months because staff almost admit that they've got this amazing talent and want to bring it to the team. So the team just gets bigger and develops in such a really nice, positive way. And we see that every month that staff are showing great initiative themselves. And it's almost for me just to support that now, 2 years in, and just help make sure everyone gets a chance if they want the chance.
Gosh, so it's really grown, hasn't it? It's become like a movement, it sounds like, and presumably it's in different departments now as well.
Yes, so we have the emergency departments of Aintree and the Royal, and then we have the acute medical units of Aintree and the Royal. And they're part of a big division. There's five big divisions within the hospitals. There's lots of structures, sorry. So what our aim is that our whole division of about 600 to 700 staff will have access to this over both hospitals. That's the aim. So that's why we push the advertising of all the sessions. It's not for glory. It's really for making sure staff know that it's available. As long as they all know it's available, we are happy. Because it's about this inclusivity. No more silos. Let everyone have the chance to do any of the sessions.
And how do you feel now then, seeing it grown and developed in this way? How does that make you feel?
It's a real positive within my career. You know, it's so clinically, it's been a tough year for every NHS staff member. But it's nice to have a few glimmers of hope and light within your job plan. And this has been a fantastic thing that I really enjoy supporting. And it's the great thing about it is because it was so small and now it's huge. It's just seeing how staff suddenly get involved, or it's the first session they've ever done and they realise, actually, I was really resistant to this. I thought it was just, it's not something for me. But I actually really enjoyed that. And it's that signposting then to say, do you know what? I really enjoyed meditation. Didn't think it was. I didn't think it was for me. I'm old school. But actually, I enjoy it. And it signposts them to using it in their own time, or developing an interest themselves and becoming an ambassador of well-being for the division. So there's so many lovely consequences to the various things that we do. I had a lovely email from one of our fantastic advanced nurse practitioners over at Aintree, Angela, last week. So Angela's, this is just one example of many, but I'll use Angela as an example. She was nominated for a Great X for the work she was doing by an amazing consultant called Anne Allen over at Aintree. Really superb people who are helping in their own time. And she said, I can't believe the joy that these certificates give staff. So she's coordinating, you know, several a day, sending them out to staff, and people come up to her in the department and say, do you know, you've really changed my day today with that one simple gesture. And that positive feeling, you know, that'll last you a day. It's incredible. And it's the simple grassroots initiative. It's not the big gung-ho, you know, speaking to a theatre of hundreds of staff. It's the one-to-one time out that you've given that one individual that makes such a difference. And it was wonderful to get that response off Angela after Anne had nominated her. And it's those little things that really count. And it really gives you a good sense of this is really working for our staff.
It's so lovely to hear a positive, heartwarming story, isn't it, at the moment especially. So we have to end here. You have to get back to work. Can you tell us any advice that you would give to other organisations who want to learn from you and perhaps do something similar? What would be the top tips, if you like, for getting something going that looks a bit like your service that you've established?
The big point of difference we had in our trust was that we started at a grassroots level. So it's the individual that counts. It's not just telling people you need to do X, Y, and Z to make yourself feel happier. It's doing the grassroots work, putting a bit of effort in to people and they feel valued. The ripple effect cannot be underestimated. If you help individuals, they feel valued and they have a real positive day. And that's, they can be few and far between when you're going through a tough time that the NHS is going through. So if you can offer an alternative, more positive approach to your job and help others, it really will have an impact. And you may not see it straight away, but you will see it eventually. And I think the best campaign we had just day to day is just being kind to each other. You know, we're all in this together. We all want to help our patients. And if we're kind to each other, our patients will have a better outcome ultimately, because we are working better together.
That's very well said. Thank you. That's lovely to talk to you, Terry. Thank you so much. Well, I hope you've enjoyed listening to Terry and learning about what's been going on in his trust. Lots of lessons for us to take away there. So it's been a delight to talk to you. Thank you very much. And thank you for listening. This interview is one of a series of podcasts linked to the work of the Innovation Agency Coaching Academy. They offer fantastic training courses and resources which help us create the right culture in the workplace. And a link to their web pages is on the podcast.